Okay, 1 Peter. Paul finished last week going through verse 12 and a lot of just reminding us of the gospel and what the Lord did in saving the people that Peter was writing to, just encouraging them that there is a spiritual battle going on. You guys are suffering persecution and tribulation. And he says, don't be surprised. Just be ready for it. And we're going to go into the idea of girding up your loins for this, the things are involved in, and just persevering and having a testimony for the Lord as we go through this. So anyway, I want to go ahead and read verse 13 through the end of 1 and then the first three verses in chapter 2. Okay, starting in verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. 17. And if you call on the Father who, without respect of persons, judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And we talked about that this morning in the communion service, being redeemed by the blood of Christ, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times to you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flowers thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word, which is the gospel, which is by the gospel is preached to you. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and all hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Okay, so as we go through this section here, he's getting into a lot of topics, and I'm going to hit on about four of them. I want to talk about first persecution, because he mentions about the tribulation they're going through. And then I want to talk about girding up your loins, anticipating the Lord's return, be holy as I am holy, and then he gives a summary of the gospel, and just encouraging one another in this spiritual warfare, and finally the milk of the word. So anyway, thinking about how can we just live, as he's talking here to these believers, how can we live with these things in mind? And when you think about Peter, I was reminded, I think one of the last times he was together with the Lord, he was on the beach, and the Lord challenges Peter, because Peter had a problem when Jesus was arrested. Three times he denied the Lord. So the Lord wanted to make sure Peter had got that straightened out, and he asked him three times, Jesus, do you love me more than these? I mean, Peter, do you love me more than these? And Peter said, yeah, sure I do. You know I do. And finally, the third time, when Jesus asked him, Peter wept. As he knew, you know what, I wasn't loving you like I should have, but now I want to. And when he told Jesus that, Jesus said, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. And I think as Peter was writing 1 and 2 Peter, he was feeding the sheep at that time, just reminding them that, guys, it is hard to be a Christian. We are going to suffer. The Lord Jesus suffered, but we need to hang in there. You need to hang in there by faith and live as the Lord lived. I think as we go into the holy aspect, not only is it being separated from sin, but it's being set apart for the work of the Lord. And I think it means being all that Jesus would be if he was there at that moment. And right now, as we sit here and we're thinking about these thoughts, the Lord Jesus is right here with us. And we can say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for being here. And I was thinking as we were singing and talking about we're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, praise the Lord, and as we take the communion bread and the cup, it's because of what he did for us. He's right here and he's saying, yes, yes. And you know what? I love you guys. I loved you on the cross. I love you now. Live for me. And I was also thinking, not only are we here at Lake Howell Bible singing these things, you know, in our group of about 60, 70 people all over the world, they're all saying, thank you, Jesus, for what you did. They're praising him. So anyway, I'm just praising the Lord for what he's done. Okay, like I said, before we get into this particular section, I just want to go over real quick on the persecution. Paul talked about this last week. But when you look back in verse 6 through 8, he talks about the persecution that they're facing. Starting in verse 6, in which you greatly rejoice, yet a little while, if need be, grieving in manifold temptations. So he's praising them for their attitude in the things they're suffering. They're rejoicing in the tribulation they're facing. In verse 7, so that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, being proven through fire, might be found to praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So those two ideas there of praise and rejoicing in these manifold temptations that these guys are facing. And I ask us, when we go through trials, when we go through tribulations, do we remember, hey, you know what? I don't like this. This is not easy. When we have cancer, when our friends have or family has cancer, it's not easy. But God's got a reason for it. And he wants us to use that to honor and glorify him. He wants to bring glory to his name. And we should be praising the Lord for the hard times. Not easy when you're going through it. But Peter was reminding these guys to keep praising the Lord. It's for his honor and glory. And in verse 8, whom having not seen you love, and whom not seeing but believing in him, you exalt with unspeakable joy, having been glorified. So again, Peter's just thanking them basically for their attitude in having a strong Christian faith in the hard things they were facing. And I don't know what they were facing. I think a lot of it was the Judaizers were trying to get the Christians to come back. Don't give up the old traditions. He mentions traditions. I think we read that earlier. So hang on to the old traditions, which what they were thinking was, okay, believing in Jesus, but also hanging on to the old traditions. Peter says, you don't need to do that. Just keep believing in the blood, as we'll look at in a minute here. Okay, one more thought about persecution. I don't know how many of you guys get Voice of the Martyrs. It's a publication about hard times going on all over the world for Christians. Well, I read this week in Nigeria. They took, I think it was 150 school kids last week from another school. And you know what? This is the sixth or seventh time in the last year. The Boko Haram, those are the Islamic terrorists, have gone into schools and taken kids and taken them away to use them in different ways. But persecution is going on. We don't face it much here. But those guys all over the world, Pakistan, Nigeria, even China and stuff, they are really suffering. We need to be praying for them and encouraging them. There's a spiritual warfare going on, and it's not a joke. So let's be praying for ourselves and praying also for our brothers and sisters all over the world. Okay, so my first point, gird up your loins. Gird up your loins. There's a spiritual battle going on. I don't know what you think of when you talk about girding up your loins. What Paul meant in those days, or what Peter meant in those days, was, okay, they wore kind of a longish robe-type clothes. They didn't have blue jeans and, you know, T-shirts like we have and stuff. They had long robes. And if they wanted to do some serious running, either to or from something, they had to gird up their loins, pull up their robes so that it wouldn't slow them down. And so we don't do that. That's not a problem for us. But in the spiritual sense, which we want to draw application from. How can we gird up our loins as Christians and be ready for this spiritual battle? That's what we want to look at. So I got some notes here. It says, in this spiritual warfare that we're experiencing and going to experience more, we need to encourage one another. We'll look at that in a bit, where he talks about loving one another. Encourage one another to be holy. And just like I said earlier, we are God's hands to help other people. We are God's hands to allow him to work through us to encourage one another in this spiritual warfare. So anyway, just living available and making ourselves available to be used of the Lord. And so that just means, Lord, search me and try me, see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Lead me in the way you want to use me. Lead me in the things that you're trying to do. Right now, I'm available, and I want you to work through me. Peter says later, you know, talking about the spiritual battle in chapter 5, verse 8, be sensible, vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking someone he may devour, whom firmly resist in the faith. So there he spells it out that there is a spiritual battle going on. We do have an enemy that hates us as much as he hated these people back in Peter's time. And we need to be vigilant. We need to be girding up our loins and be ready for this spiritual warfare that we're in. Okay, thinking about, well, let me ask you this first. We gird up our own loins so that we can personally be ready. But what about involvement in other believers' lives, like even here in our Lake Howell Bible Chapel? How much do we actually interact with one another? I know we do hear some at the chapel on Sundays, and hey, how's it going? And, you know, you haven't seen you and miss you and been thinking about you. But how can we be involved in one another's lives and fellowship together? I'm going to talk about specifics about this. But that's one way that we can be helping one another in our walk with the Lord and reminding each other, hey, how's it going? You know, have you been facing anything, any trials, any things in your life? This is what I've been going through. Pray for me. We just need to be doing that with one another. Okay, gird up your loins. One way we gird up our loins is with the Word of God. We resist the devil with the Word of God. An example of that was when Jesus was tempted of the devil. We remember the situation. The devil tried three times to get him to do something, basically to just go along with Satan's request and kind of give, you know, a little bit of attention to Satan. Jesus three times resisted it. But you remember how he did it? He said, it is written, don't tempt the Lord your God and worship him. And but it is written, three times he resisted the devil with what is written in the Word of God. When you think of spiritual battle and you talk about the armor of God, it talks about the Word in the armor of God also. In Ephesians 6, 14 and 17, therefore stand, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and taking the helmet of salvation in 17, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So honestly, guys, as we think about things that are going on in our culture, in our society, in our daily lives and stuff, we need to be in the Word and asking the Lord to remind us from His Word how to resist the temptations that are out there, how to resist the devil and be feeding on His Word. Okay, we just had a hurricane, right? I don't think you guys even had much of it here. You probably didn't even sense it. It kind of went up a little bit to the north of us. We didn't have it in Pensacola either. But how many of you guys were preparing before it actually came, thinking, well, who knows, it might come? We were putting stuff away on our carport. Anything less than 50 pounds, you're supposed to put it away. And we didn't have to board up this time. We have boarded up before, everything facing east. But we were just covering the bases in case it did hit. And we did have to hunker down and watch out. But when Jesus says there's a spiritual battle, we need to hunker down and be preparing for whatever could be happening. Okay, one way we can gird up our loins in preparing is memory verses. I know we used to do word of the sword of the Lord and Awana when we were teaching kids and stuff. And of course, a lot of that is doing memory verses. I don't know how many of us here still do memory verses now. I don't memorize so much new verses, but I review a lot of the old verses. I probably got about 250 verses from when we were in Bible school and different things like that. But preparing for battle, reviewing memory verses that encourage you. And I would encourage us every day. I got a list of 10 verses that I just kind of look at. And it's just a reminder. I don't do a lot of meditating on them, but this is some of the ones I use. Psalm 118, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice, be glad in it. So remember, God has got a plan for this day. Let's rejoice. When I get up in the morning, I do Ephesians 1:3 and 2:7. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So just the fact that as I'm right here speaking to you guys and I start each day, God already has me seated in heavenly places, spiritual heavenly places. So we can rejoice in the fact that not only are we going to see it one day, right now, we're experiencing eternal life and what he has reserved for us in heaven. Okay, then Joshua 24, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Philippians 4, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. So your thought life, just a reminder to be involved and be thinking about things that are good and thinking about things that the Lord is thinking about. Psalm 19, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. That's a good idea for every day and every moment of that day. My life verse, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Acknowledge him in all your ways. I got a lot of friends. I do Facebook. And a lot of friends on Facebook post verses. You know, every day they'll post a different verse, just a reminder of the Lord being in their life and a reminder that we need to be thinking about the Lord and all that we're involved in. So how can we be acknowledging the Lord in all our ways? Anyway, memorizing verses and just going over them. And then the last two, Jeremiah 29, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. And then Isaiah 40, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run, not be weary. They shall walk, not faint. We know these verses. But I think it's just a good reminder to have verses as you start the day. And just remind yourselves, yeah, right, the Lord's got plans for me this day. I want to walk with him. Okay, let's go for it, Lord. Let's start this day. Okay, so memory verses is another way to gird up your loins. How about watching the Jesus movie? When's the last time you guys watched the Jesus movie? I don't know if any of you guys do The Chosen. That's a new thing about the life of Jesus and stuff. But when you watch that, you see what the Lord went through in his life. And then when he's on the cross and you see the experience he went through suffering on the cross, it's a reminder that Jesus did that for me. God so loved the world that he did all that for me. And just reviewing that from time to time is a good way to gird up our loins and be prepared for the spiritual battle, be prepared for the things the Lord has for us. And of course, reading the word, we'll talk about that in a little bit. There used to be bracelets that guys used to wear. People used to wear WWJD. Remember that? What would Jesus do? And I don't see them anymore, just like I don't see Christian license plates much anymore. I used to see that a lot, stickers on people's back of people's cars. You don't see that much anymore. But back then, probably 15, 20 years ago, it was a reminder that Jesus is right here. And how can we acknowledge him? What's Jesus trying to do in this situation? So I don't have mine on either, but I'm thinking about getting one again. Okay, anyway, another thing about girding up the loins, you know, and being involved in this spiritual warfare, praying with one another, for one another, but also with one another. How many of you guys actually sit down with somebody through the week and say, hey, let's pray? I did that a couple of times on this trip to Pensacola with some friends of ours that actually helped support us, and of course with our daughter and her husband and some other folks just praying together. So anyway, as we pray together, we can encourage one another. Every day at the homes, the New Tribes homes, the work crew, there's about 15, 18 of us, we have devotions for a half hour every morning, and we're going through the book of John. So we go through that, we pray for different prayer requests and stuff, but we do that every day. We start the day out with time in the Word and praying for one another. On Friday, we get together for an hour of fellowship and prayer, for Friday at 10 a.m. That's right. There's six of us. This is Friday at 10 o'clock in the morning. There's six retired missionaries, and we sit down for an hour, and we have coffee and usually some donuts, but we pray. And so we go around the group, and we just see what the prayer requests are for them that week, but just committing ourselves to the Lord again. So we pray together each week in that situation. And then, like Paul mentioned this morning, Sunday night, we have time in the Word going through 1 John. So just being in the Word is one way we can be girding up the loins and encouraging one another in the things of the Lord. Okay, anticipating the Lord's return. When we went through, verse 13. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is the verse, and when I saw this, we were sitting in a men's meeting about a month and a half ago. I read that verse and I said, I want to do this section. But he says, anticipating, fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And when I read that, I think about when the Lord comes back and takes us up and brings us home to heaven, that's going to be awesome. And I want to be thinking about that now, maybe today. Lord, if you come today, I'm ready. I am excited about being with you forever. So he talks about having the anticipation of being with the Lord forever and just looking forward to that. And I got to thinking, my son got married back a year ago already, so it wasn't that, wasn't recently. But anyway, as he was getting ready for the wedding that day up in North Carolina, there was lots of talk about what clothes to wear, you know, how they're going to do the ceremony. They had to practice it and do it right. And actually, they got married in a Messianic Jewish synagogue. I've never been to a wedding in a Jewish synagogue, but that was interesting. I don't know how many of you have experienced a Messianic Jewish. It's a Christian, born-again Christians, but they keep some of these old traditions. And so the guys had to wear the beanies on their heads. And when they actually did the wedding ceremony, the bride walked up, her dad brought her up the aisle, and she walked around my son seven times. I never saw that before. And I thought, wow, what is she doing? And then she stops next to him, and they kiss each other on the cheek, and they step on a glass, on a cup or something. But they're just committing themselves and that family to the Lord. Anyway, just neat to think about their anticipating of their wedding together, their family they were getting ready to start. And the Lord is telling us to be thinking about what the Lord is going to do and just anticipating going to be with him. Okay, a couple of verses about anticipating, waiting for the Lord. 2 Peter 3, 12 and 13. Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning and the elements will melt with intense heat. But according to his promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Philippians 3:20, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And 1 Corinthians 1:7, so that you are not lacking in any gift, awaiting eagerly the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I would just challenge us, you know, as you sit here and you're listening to me, are we thinking, boy, maybe the Lord's going to come back before we finish this service? If so, yeah, praise the Lord. I'm ready to go. But anticipating the Lord, the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, and let that motivate our lives. Okay, now going into the holiness section, be holy as I am holy. When you think of holiness, and the first thing that pops into my mind is I grew up Catholic, so you see the priest dressed up in all his, you know, paraphernalia, and they have holy smoke, and the incense that they wave around and all the different things they're doing, it seems very ornate. I wouldn't call it holy now that I know the Lord, but, you know, back then it was really special. And I was thinking, you know, in the Old Testament when they had the Holy of Holies, the tabernacle and the Holy of Holies, and the Lord came down with a flame at night to guide them around and a cloud during the day, and they saw the presence of God. And I think they are in awe of God being right there with them. And when they went into the Holy of Holies, that was no lighthearted, yeah, cool, let's get this over with. We're going in to give the Lord, you know, what the honor he deserves. They went in there with fear and trembling because they were standing in the presence of God himself. And they actually had a rope tied around the high priest when he went in there in case God struck him down because he didn't have the right attitude or he had sin or something, they could pull him back out. But anyway, that's a lot of times when we think about holy, we're thinking about, whoa, God, I'm not sure I should be here in your presence right now, man. So we're thinking about the sin aspect, that you're apart from sin. And that there's that part of being holy and just being away from ungodliness. And he talks about that of, I think it was in some place, he talks about putting away guile and evil thoughts and stuff like that. So resisting the temptations that are out there. But like I said earlier, it also has to do with setting apart. Being holy is to be set apart. God himself is set apart from, you know, the world, from the sinfulness that's in the world. He sits on a holy throne. And so he doesn't have anything to do with the things going on in this world other than trying to bring glory to himself. And so being set apart. And he wants us to be set apart for his service. And when we think about holiness, we are being available, making ourselves available to be used of God, like I said earlier, so that he can work through us and do his will in us, through us, and around us. So are we living a holy life set apart for the Lord? Okay, being aware of his presence. I had these thoughts written down. The fear of the Lord helps us make decisions to honor him. So I want to grow in my awareness and awe of the presence of the Lord in our lives and in our hearts in all that we do right now. Like I said earlier, I want to acknowledge the Lord in all our ways and just be amazed at God's presence in my life and in our lives. The high priest, like I said, in the Old Testament, this is 2 Chronicles 7, says this, the priest could not enter the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. When all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down in the glory of the Lord on the temple, they bowed their faces to the ground on the pavement, worshipped, praised the Lord, saying, he is good, and for his mercy endures forever. But you see their attitude there, bowed down, faces to the ground, and we stand before a holy God. Now, we don't do that so much anymore. Again, like I said earlier, I grew up in the Catholic Church, so we kneel down. You know, sometimes I just raise my hands and I say, thank you, Lord. And sometimes when nobody's looking, I'll get down on my knees and bow down before him and say, thank you, God, for being in my life. I worship you. I praise you. And you know what? When we get to heaven, we're not going to be sitting there saying, oh, cool, Lord, yeah, you're cool. What's it say in Revelation chapter 4 and chapter 5? We read chapter 5, verse 9 just now. Let's look at it. Revelation 5, 9. Well, I got four. We can look at four. I don't have five right here with me. And the four living creatures, each one of them having six wings, all full of eyes around and within, and day and night they did not cease to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord the Almighty, who was and who is to come. I think it says later in maybe verse 9, but also verse chapter 5, 9. They bowed down and they worshiped the Lord. So anyway, when we remember the holiness of God, we bow down and we worship before him. Okay, now I want to move on. I'm not going to spend a lot of time in that section about being holy. But going to the gospel, this is verses 18 through, I think it was 23. It says in 18, redeemed. In 19, precious blood of Christ as of a lamb. God raised him from the dead. And yeah, okay, just those thoughts about the gospel, that it is the blood of Christ, and that's what we need to emphasize when we talk to people about coming to the Lord and being saved. The main key in the whole thing is that Jesus paid the penalty for our sins, and it was by his blood that we're saved from our sins. And that's what we need to be convinced of and believe that Jesus died for our sins and paid with his blood. Of course, we do that going through the chronological lessons in the tribe and stuff. So we lay a foundation. Okay, so anyway, just the gospel there in that section and talking about what Christ did for us. Peter was reminding his audience there, guys, don't forget that we fight this spiritual battle the same way. We believe that the blood of Christ that saved us can protect us and help us in our spiritual battle now. So keep that in mind. Okay, love of your enemies. I want to spend a little bit of time on this one. I mentioned earlier, how much do we interact with one another? We won't be able to interact with Rob much more. He's taken off this week. So get it in while you can. This is the final time with Rob. We'll see him again, I'm sure. But thank him. Tell him you appreciate his life and his family, and you'll be praying for them. And just encouraging him and his family. That's one way you love your neighbors, as it says in this section here. Where is it? 22, 1 Peter 1:22. Since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. So fervently love one another. That's more than just saying, hey, yeah, I'm thinking about you. Hope you have a good day. Hang in there. I think it means sitting down with folks, invite folks over, just take some time through the week and actually talk about what's going on. Just say, hey, how's it going? What have you been reading in the Word? What things has God been teaching you? And just sharing with one another brotherly love and encouraging one another in the things of the Lord. When we were over in Pensacola, there's a lady over there, Mrs. Ellis. I don't know if anybody here has ever heard about her. Larry knows her. But this lady gives to the retirement center at the homes. She gives $250 every holiday. And so how many holidays do we have in a year? Probably five or six. She gives $250 for the food for that time. And we've sat down with her three times. We've been over to Pensacola a number of times, and we've actually gone to see her. She lives a little bit away from Pensacola, and we were there yesterday with her. And she always takes us out to eat at a golf course at a country club over there. And again, she showed us a letter she got from one of the retirees at the homes, Mabel Hurst, who's 99 years old. And she said, you got to read this letter from this Mabel Hurst. She knows Mabel well. And so I read the letter, and Mabel was just saying, I love the Lord. I've been involved in his ministry and his work, and I'm looking forward to seeing him. And thank you, Mrs. Ellis, for helping us and giving in so many different ways. She was thanking this lady Mrs. Ellis is about 92 years old. And so Mrs. Ellis is excited to hear from the people that she's helping, you know, support with her finances. As we were getting ready to leave and said goodbye to her, she said, hey, here's $100. Take it and buy watermelon for the residents at the retirement community. And I thought, whoa, that's a lot of watermelon. we asked her, well, is it okay if we can get a few other things too? You know, maybe decorations and stuff. She said, sure, use it. But I want them to have watermelon. That's cool. But anyway, people like Mrs. Ellis, you know, loving one another, even though she can't be with them, she wants to do what she can to be an encouragement to the brothers and sisters in Christ. When I was over there, I went to visit a supporter who picked us up about 10 years ago. We never met this guy before, but he heard about us through my daughter who lives in Pensacola. And he started praying for us and actually giving to us. His name's Larry Frank. So I went over and visited with Larry. We were by ourselves. His wife was away working and his kids weren't there. But he's had to retire early because of physical needs. And so we talked about what's going on. He asked how it went with my surgery, if I was doing well. And we prayed together before we said goodbye. He said, Larry, let's pray. So I prayed for him and the things he's going through, and just encouraging one another in the Lord. But we need to do that with one another, just encouraging people in what's going on. Okay, I'll go ahead and close with these thoughts in the milk of the word. Peter finishes up in the first couple of verses in chapter 2 and the last couple of verses in chapter 1. We're saved by the precious blood of the Lamb, and the word lasts forever. This is a word that was preached to you, so be in the word as newborn babes. Long for the milk of the word, and just keep refreshing yourselves in the word. Hebrews says this about the word: for the word of God is living, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So being in the word, and the seriousness of allowing that to have input in our lives. In 1 Peter, 10 times you have the word actually used in 1 Peter 1 and 2. And he talks about being born again by the word of God. And thinking about the word, I'm sure we all have devotions every day, spending time in the word and praying about different items. But I like the way he talks about newborn babes desiring the milk of the word. While we were in Pensacola, our three-month-old grandson was doing that, being involved in the milk, not of the word, but although he heard it from his parents, he's in the actual breast milk. And he does that probably every 2-3 hours. You know, when he doesn't get it, I actually let you know, hey, guys, I'm missing something here. I need mom's breast milk. And then he'll start to fuss until he gets it. And once he gets it, settles down. But I was thinking about, you know, a newborn having the nourishment of the word, you know, and we can apply it to ourselves. They need that breast milk as they go through life. And I thought, well, how long would a newborn last without breast milk? 3 months old. Could he go all day long without any breastfeeding? Would he make it through the day, you know, or maybe 2 days? I don't think he would. You know, that breast milk is really important for his life right then, moment by moment. Okay, what about adults? How long could you go without water? You think about fasting, but start with water. Could you go 4 days, 5 days without water and live? No, I don't think you could. What about not eating? I've heard about, 3 days, fasting, not eating. I've heard of people going 35 days without eating. And, of course, I don't know if they actually go to the end of their life, but it's about a month without eating. And you aren't going to make it. Now apply that to the word of God. Do we look at being in the word like that? If you go 2 days, 3 days without being in God's word, do you sense that? Do you miss that? Do you realize I need to be in God's word for my spiritual life and for my attitudes and dealing with life? Getting back to my grandson, Kim will going to start putting him in a daycare. They live at the Pensacola Christian College, so they have daycare, and they actually do start with three-month-old kids. So Kimmy went in that day, and she said, Dad, bring in this box, and it's loaded with little Ziploc bags of breast milk, frozen breast milk. There was about 35 bags, you know, just small little things like that. So it represented one-time feeding Gideon when he's going to be in the daycare. So they stuck it in the fridge and they got it ready. So when Gideon's in there and Kimmy's off working, the workers in there can help take care of this little. But that's just one kid. There's about 30 kids in there that they're taking care of. So the importance of breast milk and looking at ourselves, the importance of the word. Let me close with these thoughts. Like a mother's milk, the word of God provides all the essential nutrients to enable us to continue to grow and mature in the Lord. It is a perfect food. As the need and desire to nurse are instinctive in a natural child, so the need and desire to drink of the Word of God are inherent in a believer. Yes, in one sense, we are to mature and go on to eat of the meat of the Word, but in another sense, we are to remain like children, ever desirous of one source of nourishment, ever appreciating one food ever finding it all sufficient. David prayed, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My flesh longs for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. May we remain babes in that sense. Okay, that's it. Let's close in prayer. Yeah, Father, we do thank you for just these reminders of being anticipating, being girded up with the spiritual armor to fight this battle that we're in, to live for you and remember your presence. Remember that one day we will be raised up and brought to be with you forever. So have us to live in anticipation of that day. Help us, Lord, to be holy as you're holy, to have your perspective and be involved in the things that you're involved in. Make ourselves available to be active and zealous for the work of the Lord in winning people to yourself. Thank you for your gospel, that it is by the blood of Christ, and thank you one day we'll be able to thank you in person and see you in person, the nail scars in your hands, and just thank you in person. And finally, for loving one another and being in the Word, help us, Father, to be encouragers one of another, to show your love through us to those around us, both believers and unbelievers, and again, to be in your Word, to be nourished and depending on you, and look forward to the day we'll hear from you in person when we get to be with you forever. So thank you, Father, and we pray these things now in Jesus' name.